Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Now, Anne is in Kilkenny. How are you, Anne? What's happening?
Well, I got a call yesterday morning from my mum around 20 to 9, and mum is 83. She lives in Dublin. And she just said, I have a great idea. Now, it would be quite common for her to ring at various times with ideas, and this one where she was sick of hearing the bad news, and she said, I have a plan. I'm going to do a list of 100 good things that we all can do instead of hearing what we can't do. So
right.
I just thought, you know what, this is, since March the 12th, we've heard about older people cocooning. In one sense, they've sort of lost their voice, and yet my mom has really been the glue that's sort of held us together with positivity. She's a 91-year-old sister over in Pappin's Green in Dublin, and she's a 93-year-old sister in California, and she's a 76-year-old brother in Clochran, and they're all, she's ringing them, making sure they're all okay. She sort of sees them as older than she is.
Yeah.
So they should be cocooning and minding themselves, and she's going to mind them, really, you know. So
she just wants to compile this list of 100 things we can do in spite of everything else.
In spite of everything. So she's talking to family, she's going to talk to friends, and she's going to pull it together. She started, bought herself a notebook, I think, yesterday, and was phoning around. But she often has lots of ideas. She's just quite a, yeah, she's quite a witty and a funny person, really, and I just thought it's, you know, something positive, and the older people need to get out there. They've gone through a hell of a lot more than we've done, and they've survived, and maybe they're the people who can lead us out of this, you know?
Nicely put. I love that angle. I love that idea. Yeah, we need to be looking to our elders a bit more for their advice, because, as you said, they've lived through more things, more life experience they have.
Absolutely.
Well, let's have a chat to her, because she's on the line too. Teresa, how are you?
Very well, thanks. I'm good.
How far down your list are you at this stage?
Well, I only started, it was only an idea yesterday morning, and, you know, I just suddenly thought about it. But it's all stuff that we've been taking for granted so much and doing them automatically, and now suddenly they seem more important and more, they're what we're thinking about now, or what we need to think about now. We're, you know, we've been looking at things and just not really seeing them, but now things are different, you know. Suddenly
yeah.
we've time to look around and sit in the garden, listen to the birds, and, you know, all this. So it all that just became important all of a sudden.
Absolutely. It's very important to look for the things that we can do and take the positive attitude out of it.
And what's been the toughest part for you, do you think, Teresa?
Well, I think in not being able to you know, see the grandchildren and give them a hug and that, and being a bit closer to them all, to my family, and seeing my friends for the cup of tea and coffee and that, you know, being able to go out freely and being able to sit down and have the tea, all that, we've lost all that. So, you know, we're just getting on managing without it, of course, and we will.
Yeah.
We will. There's loads of other things we can do and we can think about. You know, I write cards to a lot of my friends and family, and even one or two neighbours I haven't seen around for a long time, and I'd put a little note in their letterbox, you know, so just some way of keeping in touch during these times.
You sound like you had a great outlook on life. Were you always like this, or is this something you developed in more recent times?
Well, I think I was always a bit like this. I was always sort of easygoing type of a person, and I always like to think that the glass was half full, kind of more so than the opposite. So I think so, but it's become more important now, of course. You know, we've so much more time now to think about all this.
Mm.
We were so busy going out and about, and now we can't do that. So we're just looking around and see what we can do.
And what kind of things, like, have you been doing, say, even before you had the idea of putting together the list, what have you been doing to kind of keep yourself interested?
Gardening was the main thing. That was kept me going for ages, because after the summer, the garden was looking a bit tired, and I needed to freshen it all up and get it all ready for the winter. And that's what I've been doing back in front. I've nice gardens back in front, and I'd spend 3 hours in the garden. So, you know, I was going along with that. And then I did a little bit of Christmas baking, a little bit of fruit cake, just for, you know, to keep my hand in practice, kind of thing.
Right.
For that. So that's all I was doing, and a bit of brown bread here and there, and, you know, that sort of thing. So I was kept busy enough now, you know. I can keep myself fairly busy, you know.
It's interesting that they're both very tactile things, aren't they?
You're digging
your hands in the soil.
Yes.
Apparently, scientists tell us that there's actually microbes in the soil that we take in through our skin, and that produces hormones like serotonin. serotonin that help us to feel happier.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, that sounds right. I think I'd agree with that. It's very therapeutic, kind of, because you're working away there and you're not realizing it. You know, you're not thinking of anything. You have no worries, really, only concentrating on what you're doing. And thinking, I hope I'm around when these bulbs come back up.
You definitely will be with sense things, Teresa.
True, and I have to think of that as well.
And do you think you'll be able to fill this list of 100 things yourself, or are you looking for suggestions?
Well, the 100 was a bit ambitious, so we'll concentrate on a bit lower than that now. But, like, I've a lot of ideas myself. Well, they're all the regular stuff, you know, like reading and writing and music and various things like that, reading poetry and stuff like that. But then I will be welcome for suggestions coming in from anyone, you know. I did mention it. That's why I mentioned it to my family. And, you know, if you think of something now, we'll add it to the list.
Well, yeah, we've hundreds of thousands of people listening to you right now.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, don't be nervous or anything. But I mean, like, we'll ask all of our listeners to send in suggestions and we'll pass them on to you and see if they can make your list.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I'm very welcome because, you know, I have a few in my head, but they're all the regular stuff. I'd like something maybe a little bit different. You know, I like that the music is lovely to listen to music and reading and writing. As you said, I love writing, so I'm scribbling little things all the time, making lists here, there and everywhere, and make the list, of course, for the shopping, and then realise in the shop you've left it on the kitchen table.
Do you write anything else, Teresa?
It's like senior citizens.
Do you write anything with more depth than the shopping list?
Actually, when my husband is dead 10 years now. He had mouth cancer. And I remember when he was about a month dead, I was awake during the night and I said, I'm going to write to him and tell him, remind him of where we met, where we went and all this. And I said, Paddy, it's 1:30 in the morning and I can't sleep, so I'm just thinking where we met. And I wrote a good few pages of that right up to the day, you know, for the next... for a few years.
Wow.
And it was lovely because, well, it was kind of therapeutic as well. And I thought, sure, you know, wouldn't that be a good idea for suggest that to other people who are grieving, you know, a way of putting it down on paper, you know, and it helps you, you know, it helps your mental attitude, I think, you know.
I write things.
I still write little notes to him here during the night as well. What I'm doing,
nice.
You know. But it was a lovely thing, and, you know, when I let my kids read it, it was like as if they got to know us better than they ever did.
Yeah, of course, they got an insight.
They saw a new side of us, you know.
Absolutely.
This was all coming out, you know, the little secrets and all of. I remember saying to him, we used to go to Malahide, and you could get a boat across to the little island. And I remember writing down, well, Paddy, you were always trying to get your wicked way with me in the long grass of that island. but we didn't succumb to the temptation.
I'd say there's a whole memoir of a book there to be written.
So it was just a little thing to do at the time, you know.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, Paddy, I'm sure you thought I was a right hussy because I let you kiss me goodnight on the first date. You know?
Well, he didn't let go of you.
Thinking back, like, they're so funny and so innocent, really, you know. And yes, at the time, you know, we were mad about each other and it was a lovely thing to do, you know. So, like, I think about him and scribble little things to him during the night and that, you know. I miss his companionship, really, holding hands and that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's lots of people in the same situation, but, you know, I think that's good for people, you know, who are grieving to maybe write.
That sounds like a great idea, Teresa.
I'll write it all down.
Yeah. Are you on social media, Teresa?
No.
Anne, are you on social media?
I am a bit, yeah.
I think, Anne, you're going to have to create an Instagram page for Teresa because it sounds like she's got a lot to say and people want to hear more.
Oh, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know these stories. And we'll tell you another little story,
Dave.
I'm thinking of funny little things. No, one day there some time ago, I was in Aldi And I was looking at bells, you know, nice bells. And I talking to myself and thinking out loud, I said, you know what, I'd buy myself one if I could find my waist. And there was a lovely man beside me, a lovely tall man with his wife, and he turned around and said, if I had more time, I'd help you.
The things that happen in the middle aisle.
I thought it was great. It kind of made me smile for the day, like, you know.
I tell you, it isn't, Teresa, it's not an Instagram account you need, it's a book deal. We want to have all these memories written down somewhere.
I don't know. Anyway, Dave, it was nice talking to you, and I'm going to have a cup of tea now because I didn't even have a cup of tea yet. I was all up in a dither over, you know, I'm not used to public speaking and that, you know yourself.
It sounds to me like you're very used to
be on the circuit in a couple of
you
weeks.
You will. Teresa, thank you so much for filling
not
us in
at all,
and telling
all.
Us all about your idea. It's a brilliant idea.
Yourself and Dave and Emer. So God bless. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
You too. See you, Teresa.
Bye.
Anne, thanks so much for bringing Teresa into our lives.
I don't know what to do next, actually. I think I've created a monster.
Oh, listen, I'm telling you, you've got to get her a book deal. It has to happen.
The gift of the gab is alive and well. And I tell you what, there's good genes in that part of the family. I think you're good for another 60 years or so. Fair play to you.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Cheers. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live, on air, from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.